guys? I'm Boo Carlisle.
I'm Aaron Goodman. I thought you were doing the whole intro.
I throwed it for a loop, because if you could tell by listening last week, we are new to this whole thing. Go ahead and tell them what happened on the closing segment last week, producer.
What had happened was, rookie mistake over here. We went to break so I could plug the laptop up that was dying, and I never hit record. We sat down and we recorded probably another 20 minutes, and the rookie stripe was in full display, and we didn't get to show you what we recorded. It was some good stuff. So we're already off to a great start this week. I hit record and we're rolling.
That's a big plus from last week. We got a bunch of junk to talk this week. For the ones that are listening and can't see it, Aaron's drinking one of those lightweight calorie Michelob Ultras, and the ones
cheers.
Of you that can't see that's just listening to the audio, we still got our work clothes on. I got my work clothes on.
I do not.
Got the sweater vest on. That's big boy friendly when you're sitting in a bar stool. So, but hey, let's go on and talk about what we got into this weekend.
Yeah, so we had another off weekend, which is a rare occurrence.
You had an off weekend the week before. I didn't.
Okay,
I was driving 1 o'clock in the morning coming back from the bull ring.
Sounds a lot like a personal problem.
Yeah,
I had another off
choice.
Weekend. Maverick, of course, conned us into going to the racetrack.
Like he twisted your damn arm. You twisted his little arm.
I did not. Langley Speedway is that little boy's favorite place. It's much like Disney to him. So when he found out that it was not only opening weekend, but his hero and best bud, Chase Burrow, was racing, there was no other place that he wanted to be. So we loaded up and we went to Langley Speedway this past weekend and attended the 75th season opener. It was a good night.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. There's plenty of cars there. Good crowd. Figured out real quick that stopwatches still are needed in qualifying in today's
world.
Yeah,
we did. Yeah.
Played a little bit of Jeopardy. Ain't knocking nobody. Just tell them what happened.
Yeah, we late models rolled out to qualify, and three or four went out, no time, and they paused, and they said that the computer died, and we sat there for what felt like hours waiting.
They told drivers to get out.
Yeah, so they got the drivers out.
Go back to the trailer and have a Dr. Pepper and a cold ham sandwich.
They ended up bringing the Enduros out and let them practice.
Hell, they were practice. I'm standing there the whole time talking about, everybody's got a stopwatch on an iPhone.
That's subjective.
You think they ain't people lying in people's pockets already in all of racing? Hell, we just talking about qualifying. They do an invert, and them boys
on the second race.
And them boys show up and still don't bitch about it. They just say, "All right, we'll do an invert."
It's crazy, ain't
it? They don't go to crying about it. They just get in the race car and go race. Hell, who would have thought somebody wants to pass cars?
Oh, they cry and whine about plenty.
I did see that the other night too. I just stood back. Well, I didn't know we was gonna do a kicking asphalt. All the stuff that we're talking about now, you can watch on this week's kicking asphalt vlog. Where it wasn't no in-depth thing. It was kind of a, hey, are you taking the cameras? And I was like, I hadn't planned on it. You know, some bitch is still dead from Wake County. But plugged them up real quick, got a little bit, kind of off night. Told her, I said, I want you to run the show. You know, I do everything with on the asphalt with Buddy Isle, from producing to editing to hosting to the regular kicking asphalt. I want her to do more camera stuff. And I just stay shut up. I want to be like Steve Zacharias. He done turned the racetrack over to Brian Voss at Florence, and he's on the camera side of it. I'll turn the whole you. Hell, you are just a touch prettier than I am.
Just a touch.
So you easier on the eyes on the camera by just a touch. Maybe a fender.
We'll have to see what the viewers think about this week's episode and how we laid it out.
Oh, hell, they'll let you know. That's for sure.
Oh,
they don't hold no damn punches.
They love the comment section, that's for sure.
They love to light that thing up. But, you ready to throw a green flag or a black flag?
I'm always ready.
Newest segment here on Booze, the Real Podcast, is I'm going to toss her a bone, throw her a softball, see if she can hit it out of the park. Ones of you that are watching on the video on Ultra Broadcast, you'll be able to see me pick a phone up. We ain't professionals here at all. Hell, I do good to remember my name. Wish I'd put it on my shirt. That way I can remember it at work.
Jesus. All right, time to wave some flags. What are we cheering and what are we booing?
All right. For the ones of you that don't know, green flag means you agree with it. Black flag means, hell no, you don't agree with it. But either one of them, you better have an explanation with it. All right. First question. Late model racing is pricing itself out of existence. Green flag or black flag?
Green flag.
And why?
I don't think it really, I mean, this is a topic that I feel like has been talked to death. The costs are continuing to rise and the car counts are showing it.
I mean, we're to the point now where I love the cars tore to death, and it's done an absolute ton for my personal career. But there's people paying. I know everybody gets weirded out talking about money, and somebody may get mad about me. This, I don't give a damn. People paying $25,000 to drive a race car per race, $20,000 to $25,000 to slide in the window of a race car.
And you just asked me why it's getting priced out of existence.
That was the question. Six races, we pay the Georgia house off. Yeah. The bank gave me 30 years. Hell, that's like half a season, quarter of a season. Mm-hmm. Ain't sanctioning body's fault. It's just product of what it is, you know, the whole – it's the business of it. But, yeah, you know, so, I mean, we even thought about doing a street stock rental program at one point. Hell, let's make a little money off of it. But, you know, the driver couldn't drive his thumb up his ass, so I killed that idea real quick.
You usually do. What else we got?
All right, next question. Green flag or black flag? Social media hurts short track racing at a local level more than it helps it. Scuff your tires in before you drop the green.
Are you going to let me talk?
Yeah, well, I'm horrible at it. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm going to throw the black flag on that one. I think social media can be a hindrance, and it can shed some bad light sometimes. But when used properly, social media can be a racetrack and a racer's best friend. Boo and I are testaments to that. We both have built successful careers with social media. Even in my daytime job, social media plays a huge part in what I do. And like I said, it just has to be used right. And the keyboard warriors, they're going to be there. They're going to shed their negativity with or without social media.
Absolutely. Completely agree. On to the next question. Next lap. Green flag or black flag? The choose cone restart should be used in every division, every race.
Black flag.
Agree. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to throw the black flag on that real fast and real hard. No, just no. I'm not even explaining it. It doesn't need an explanation. Just no. That's a bad idea.
Can I give a little explanation? Can I do just a little bit?
Please. Would please, you please, ever please, not?
Please not talk. I picked up more spots at the New Year's Bash doing the choose cone rules because there's so much shit going on. People dives on the inside. Oh, I can pick up spots on the outside. Nobody ever sticks with it. That's why our great friend Danny Willard has two laps to decide what everybody done, if they chose it or not. As our Alliance Driveway Solutions Star Tour, I tell them every time, no, absolutely not. Because it's hard enough to get y'all lined up for qualifying. More or less, y'all going to choose coming to the white? No, uh-uh. If you're running third, you're going to restart third. So some people have success with it. Some people don't. I picked up a bunch of spots. I picked up more spots under caution than I probably have under green. I love a choose cone as a driver. But all right, next question. Green flag or black flag? Excessive caution laps for a single spin.
Black flag. I'm not a fan
of
excessive caution laps. If you've ever watched one of our races, my drivers know it's three laps and we're going green. And I want to get us back to green if we have a caution as quickly as possible. There's going to be times where you've got to get the track clean and, you know, get things back together and get the lineup sorted out. You know, that's acceptable. But the fans are there for a reason. They're there to see a race, not them go around in circles under caution.
Completely agree as a driver, and in the middle of the summer, you know, you're sitting there baking on a 7:30 summer night, and it's still 92 degrees, and you just, there ain't no safety trucks on the track. Let's go back racing. That's just like with you. I know you drew a little fandom from three laps, and we going green. We ain't going to ride around 7-8 laps and let them scuff tires in. It ain't cold. It's hot. Three laps, and we're going green.
Let's go. We're here to race.
Well, let us know what you thought about the green flag or the black flag segments. That's going to send us to our first break here on Booze the Real Podcast. When we come back, we'll talk more racing.
Well, Welcome back to Booze, the Real Podcast. And today we are going to dive into the Short Track Showdown brought to you by Slinger Speed Co. Reach out to them for all of your quality thread needs, whether it's racing related or corporate related. They have you covered from top to bottom. Give Tim a call today and he will hook you up. Let him know that you found out about him from Booze.
He makes the absolute best. Big boy shirts, as summer is coming, check out Slinger Speed Co. for all your racing needs and your t-shirt school needs.
He does it all.
They ain't got to just be race cars. So check out Tim Brown at Slinger Speed Co.
Yeah. All right, so let's break down the drama and checkers from this weekend's showdown. What's one of your top three standout performances from this weekend? You only get one, and don't take mine.
Don't take yours. Mine is local boy, new friend of mine, Connor Hall, returning with the blue car. Nobody thought he was coming. Text him Friday like, hey, man, I think we're going to go to Langley. You know, is your ass going to show up, or are you still over there in Concord paying to play Top Golf? That's what he told me. He said, everything costs in Concord. Hell, I could go fishing for $10. Back in Hampton, but damn, you got to pay $100 to play Top Golf. Everything, you got to drive everywhere, you got to do this. So I didn't know if he's coming or not. I texted him Friday night, and I, looking at practice times, I was like, uh-oh, Kryptonite done hit Superman. But no, when the green flag dropped, there Superman was again.
Yep. Well, blue car got it done for the opening twin race and made it look easy.
Yeah, for the most part, he sure did look like iRacing out there. Second race wasn't as easy for him.
No, not at all.
There's a battle of the 77s. Hell, one of them was wider than a Buick.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. So my standout is, I'm going to highlight, this is going to be a shocker to so many, Chase Burrow rolled out with his after-hours chassis late model this weekend, that 00. And a lot of you are going to say, well, that looks just like his car store car. It's not. They look alike, but they are two different cars. This car is prepared by him, his father, his brother, and all of the after-hour guys. So this is built, prepared, everything Burrow family related. And they rolled off of that trailer pretty fast. They were on top of the board and speed all day and clinched the pole and looked like what was shaping up to be a really good day for them at Langley Speedway.
Absolutely.
Until it wasn't.
It was going great.
Until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't. Him and Connor Hall made contact racing, and I didn't even know at the time that they'd made contact. I'm looking at the wall 1 minute, and there's not a mark on it. And then 2 seconds later, I was like, damn, there's a tire mark.
I was going to save this for later, but since we're on this topic, Maverick has a cute little friendship with Connor. We played pool with Connor down, we were at Florence, and so Maverick thanks the world of Connor, gave him a birthday shout out. So Connor won, and Maverick asked me, he said, Mama, can I go take a picture in Victory Lane with Connor? And I was like, yeah, let's go. And Chase's mom thought it was cute. You know, we're all excited for Maverick. I come back and I'm showing the picture to Chase's mom and, you know, to a couple other people. Well, Boo looks at me and he was like, why don't you chill out showing that picture right now? And I was like, what are you talking about?
Read the room, Aaron.
Yeah. So he was like, Connor got into Chase and got him in the wall. And I was like, what? When? He was like, why don't you go look at the left front? So it quickly explained what happened to the car and why Chase fell back the way that he did. But needless to say, I did not show Chase that picture until... Actually, I still haven't showed him that picture.
No, you still haven't showed. And to Connor's credit, within minutes of the race being over with, he come over and apologized. Or they talked. I assume he apologized for it. He looked real apologetic from where I was at. I was going to stay over there with my dog. I was going to nurse that cold Dr. Pepper over there where I was at. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But cooler heads prevailed. Two good drivers. Seen people the other night that wouldn't take blame for it, but that'll be later on.
Yeah, so what is your third and final standout? I'll let you have this one.
How about my boy Landon Huffman one time? Dang, rolled in over at Tri-County with his new Reynolds chassis. Family car.
Yeah.
Old family done struggled getting it going, just like a lot of family teams do, but to see him roll out over there. We watched it in the cookout drive-thru.
Yeah.
They Landon Huffman, big YouTube guy, just like ourselves, and RJ had went live on the Huffman Racing page. I seen the link as we was leaving Langley, and it was after 10 o'clock, so you know, my favorite Zaxby's done closed down. So we went to cookout, sitting in drive through line, not too long. So while we're sitting there, we're watching the race, and, you know, hell, he's working him over. Kind of sucked, though, because the last two laps I had to get the food, so I didn't get to see it. I hear Aaron over there cheering like hell for him, and I'm trying to grab hush puppies at 10 o'clock at night or 10:15 at night. So I didn't get to see him do that, but I love it because every time he says, you never know when you're going to win again. I know some people's like, why don't you get so excited over a weekly win? Yeah, you never know when you're going to win again. You let me win again. Hell, I'll cave a roof in jumping up and down on top of it.
Oh, my God.
I thought that was going to beat me up at the New Year's Bash, so hell, I didn't know. And you come over there beating on the roof. Hell, I thought that was going to beat me up. I was going to jump out up and down, but thought I was going to get my ass beat, but. Yeah. But no, very happy for Landon Huffman.
It was very good to see him.
We talked to him. He was going to be on the show tonight, but he's still nursing a hangover over there in close to Hickory, North Carolina. So, plus, we got to figure out all the technology-driven stuff to have a guest on. We won't do it
right.
We'll
get there. But we want to hear. So, let us know who you'd like to see on Boost. And so, let's, on the flip side of that, every good, there's bad. The biggest disappointment of the weekend. I'll lead the way with this. Second twin at Langley, Chase was leading, launched off great, car was great, showed great speed, and was doing great. We it was smooth sailing, and again, until it wasn't. Contact with another car, and I'm going to be nice and just say another car, would send Chase around, and looked like he was dirt tracking there for a little bit. And a lot of contact, a lot of nose damage. But I will say it was mighty impressive when the caution came out and Chase came down. We had probably three or four different crews standing in our pit waiting for him to stop. And they all jumped in and started working on that car. And just a testament to who Chase is, his character. You don't see that often. But you see that support for Chase, and that's just a testament to, like I said, his character, the way that he drives other people. He could be a lot dirtier and a lot more ruthless behind the wheel with the way that he's been driven lately.
Hell, he might need to be.
You know, hey, you know, apparently it's okay to be more aggressive behind the wheel. So Chase's crew is urging him to do the same thing.
I was standing on the front stretch. You was over there in turn three watching, and I was on the front stretch.
I had a way too close of a view of the incident.
I couldn't see that great, and I seen coming off four, and I was like, okay, there'll be nose to tail. No, they wasn't nose to tail. It was all hell breaking loose. Old 00 Camry nose was folded up as people diving to the inside. But they didn't spin. I mean, they saved it. And,
One thing I do want to highlight is if you follow Chase Borough Motorsports on Facebook, you've seen his post-race recap, and there were two quotes that he said that I really want to highlight. The first one being, it's not only how you win or lose, but how you race that speaks volumes about your character. And I just think, again, what a profound statement, and for where his head was that night. You know, it was so easy. He could have got out of that car pissed off at the world and ready to, you know, throw hands. And that's just where his head was. You know, somebody asked him, you know, was it hard racing or did he flat out wreck you? And, you know, Chase was, I'd expect nothing less at this point. And I think that's just, that black cloud is still looming over him. It doesn't matter if it's Cars Tour, if it's Langley, wherever he's at, that black cloud seems to find him, even on what was a sunny, perfect, great day on Saturday.
Chamber of Commerce, beautiful weather.
Yeah. And then the last one was, when you own and build your own race cars, I guess respect comes naturally. So with that, I want to ask you, have we lost the respect between drivers and short track racing? Is that line being crossed?
Oh, hell, it's been crossed. Only, you know, there's still a line in the sand, if you will. I think the lower divisions that you get to, the people that, you know, still clock their hourly employees, I'll say it like that, they still respect each other. I mean, that's a testament in our Star Tour. You know, we've had two races with no cautions this year. And I mean, it's a, what is it? Don't shoot the horse or beat the cow or whatever it is at this point. You're beating it in the ground, young kids in racing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Chase is, there's plenty of some young kids in racing that respect and do that. I think the ones that don't outweigh and overshadow the ones that do. But, you know, Chase Burrow's one of them that, hell, I used to think he was like 20-something years old for his maturity. And, you know, works on race cars every day. But as far as just the overall question, when I started racing, people really did. They didn't want to tear their stuff up. Just because, I mean, hell, it was cheaper back then. You know, it was easier to afford groceries. Hell, eggs wasn't $8 a carton back then. But
do you think, and this was something that we had talked about potentially having on Green Flag, Black Flag, but I thought it was a good question. Do you think that post-race technical inspection should go beyond the tech shed? Should a race director be able to disqualify a driver for rough driving after the race?
Yeah, all day long. I mean, until they roll into the tech shed, you know, where if you deem somebody done something wrong, my opinion, you should be able to make that call, you know, before Chad gets to them, before Chad Hunter gets to them in the tech shed. You know, if you want to act like a fool on a racetrack, it's kind of like you're – what's the word I'm looking for? You can be disqualified there. I don't know the word. Brain's running too fast right now.
I don't know where you're thinking or going with that one. But, I mean, I agree with you. I think – at some point, we have to rein the drivers back in, and we have to, you know, if you're not going to respect naturally, then you have to force that respect, and we have to get control back. Otherwise, you know, it's not racing, it's wrecking.
Yeah, that's what we was talking about the other night at Wake County. We was standing there on the front stretch talking, and there was a guy telling me, he's like, man, we usually come to Wake County. People, you know, everybody worries and we don't tear nothing up. The other night, they was destroying stuff left and right. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I guess some nights is good, some nights bad. I said the same thing every time. I'll watch it. I'm glad I ain't the one that's got to pay for it, though.
Yeah. All right. So that will wrap up your Short Track Showdown presented by Slinger Speed Co. And as always, we want to hear your feedback and your highs and lows from the weekend. So make sure to share them with us on all of our social media channels. And when we come back from the break, we'll dive into the controversial Connor.
Welcome back to Booze, the Real Podcast. Controversy Corner. Easy for me to say again. That's
look
a
at
tough
you
word.
Go.
But I have to practice a little bit more on that, maybe do a little track rental. But this weekend, hey, it's not a secret. You look on social media anywhere, you look on anything, everybody worries about car count. They think there's got to be 25 cars for it to be a good race. Best race I ever seen was about 8 years ago, and it had 3 cars in it. You can't get some people to understand that. But with that said, it was not unknown that people called us out, oh, y'all only got 9 cars at South Boston in the Star Superstock Tour when the whole competition caution thing happened, which I'm glad to report we are not doing a competition caution.
Actually, before you dive into what you're about to dive into.
Ooh, what you got?
Let's talk about April Fool's Day.
That was a tough one.
That was controversial. I made a joke, and for those who don't know, my nickname growing up, aside from Boo, was Trickster. And
I didn't even know that.
I love playing jokes. I have a sense of humor. I love laughing.
It's like, good to laugh.
Shit is not that serious, guys. So I make a post on the Star Tour page.
Again,
and
on April Fool's. Many other tracks
obvious,
done it.
Very obvious. Yeah. Making an announcement of 3 new rules, one being that we were implementing competition cautions, and 2 other rules, not important, and a link to the rule book. Now, again, if you would have clicked the link,
you would have seen that
took you directly to our website and took you to the rule book, I took it as far as adding to the website April Fool's no competition cautions.
It's a big sign or a big
I mean, it was
whatever,
very obvious,
you know,
that it was
jump
a joke.
Up and down. It was a joke. We're trying to have fun.
When I tell you the amount of text messages, Facebook messages, just group messages, all of the things. So many people were upset and butthurt over it. And like saying it wasn't a good look, it's not a good vibe, like we shouldn't do that. I'm like, we shouldn't do what? Have a sense of humor? It was a joke.
No, like, people don't want to read too far. That's kind of like Matt Weaver all the time. He talks about when people comment on stuff and his, he said, if you'll just open the link, it'll tell you what you're asking.
Exactly. Just do a little work.
I didn't see people jumping up and down about Wake County adding a 10-story parking deck and viewing deck. You know, yeah. Everybody knew, you know, it's April 1st. You need to be careful looking around. Like, but it's good
to laugh. It's no different than every other day. Don't trust people.
About 364 days. You're right about that. But anyway, it's good to laugh in life. And, but what we're going to talk about was car count over the weekend. Boy, the street stock showed out in the Southeast, didn't they?
They sure did.
Hey, Anderson had 14. Tri-County had 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. Hickory had 8. You know, that whatever that equals up to, 37 cars. Part was that I'm still trying to figure out, 37 cars and 35 of them hadn't raced with us this year.
I don't know. The math ain't mathing.
The math ain't mathing over here. I don't know what we got to do. I'm going to send every one of them an individual invite. I'm sure everybody's got different stuff going on, but at least we know the cars are out there.
Yeah, the cars exist. The potential's there. So, you know, we'd love to have you.
Yeah,
Lonesome
absolutely.
Pine, May 17th.
You know, come on. We can work with anybody. Chad Hunter's a great tech man. Y'all let us know. What can we do to better? We've increased the pay through the field at South Boston.
That was a, you know, huge topic that, you know, we heard a lot of drivers talking about they wanted to see the payout throughout the field to be increased. And we heard them, we listened to them, and we put it into place at South Boston. And it had great feedback. So we'll carry it through. We'll do the same payout at Lonesome Pine. And, again, we stand on the fact that this is not our series. This is for the racers.
Built by our racers.
You know, we believe in them, and all that we truly want to do is we want to give them the opportunity to race at racetracks that they wouldn't be able to. We don't want them to be an add-on or just another support division in the race night. We want them to be the spotlight. We want them to be the feature. And they deserve that spotlight and that attention, and we work hard to give it to them and give them that platform, and we won't be stopping anytime soon.
Absolutely not. And we're very thankful for the ones that have raced with us. I mean, we've had seven teams that have raced both races this year, and they're already off to a good points battle.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's kind of like you said, we go to these places that not late model guys, some of them don't even get to go to places like these. And Lonesome Pine, beautiful place over in Coburn, Virginia. Can't wait to get back there. I would love to have, you know, I got to race over there once, but I would love to follow something like this. But hopefully we'll get more participants and people can understand how much fun we're having over there. You know, they treat us like the big show when we come to town over at Lonesome Pine.
They do.
That's a great place. Not to mention, they got go-karts behind the grandstands.
They got go-karts behind the grandstand, and then they have a dirt go-kart track behind turn three.
Yeah. I mean, they got, like, pay-to-ride go-karts right there behind the grandstands. That way, if the kids get too, Daddy, I'm tired. Daddy, it's hot. Let's go ride go-karts. That way, you'll shut up and get excited after a race. We'll go back over here and get Daddy's $10 worth of you sitting in the grandstands. Yeah. But we invite everybody out to come race with us. If you got questions, we got answers. I think that's a commercial from somewhere. If you got questions, we got answers.
You sound like a walking info commercial.
Ain't that right? 12:30 at night.
All right. So pour one out. It's last call. It is time for unfiltered Q&A. So we asked you guys to drop your questions for us and that we would answer them live on Booze the Real Podcast. And you guys dropped some good questions. So I'm going to throw you on the spot for the first one.
Let's go. Batter up.
Is kicking asphalt still a thing, or did Booze replace it?
No, it's still very much a thing. Obviously, with me not racing much this year or at all, I mean, we got the one race planned in, I don't know how to say it, but New York. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. But other than that, I mean, may make a start at Tri-County this year, but you know, we'll do the stuff with Buddy Isle this year, the only asphalt with Buddy Isle, and we'll just you know, maybe go have fun with Connor Hall at Langley or Chase Burrow at Langley, you know, just because it's 10 minutes up the street. But it's very much a thing. But as far as me racing this year, I mean, Bittersweet still tore all to hell in Georgia, and I'm 600 miles away. But it's still very much a thing. It just may be a little bit different stuff. I'd like to kind of get with more local guys this year as far as local division stuff and shine a little spotlight on them. But no, it's still very much a thing.
All right. When will Flip Cup at the track be happening again? I loved this question.
It was your idea the first time.
It was. It was something that I put together, and I think it needs to come back. And ironically, the Star Tour does visit Orange County this year.
In October, October 11th, we roll in.
So we might be having a spooky Flip Cup competition after the Star Tour race.
My favorite time of year. That's fat boy weather right there, as Julian Austin would say.
I think that's what we're going to do. I think
that'd be a good time. Yeah, we'll have a little spooky time. Flips and cups.
People have plenty of time to start practicing, form your teams. You must be 21 plus to participate.
Because our insurance won't cover it. No purchase necessary.
All right. This was another funny one. Who drinks more, you or me?
You. You every day of the week. Not every day of the week.
I do not drink every day of the week.
Let me back it up. Back it up. But
some people will run to the bank with that. God, I don't drink every day of the week.
Yeah, every time we go to the Mexican restaurant, I'm getting water and you're getting salt on the rim.
Absolutely. There's Mexican food always calls for a margarita. All right. This is a good one. Does your schedule and series ever affect your relationship?
About 8 days a week?
There's only 7 days in a week.
So, yes, it does. Absolutely.
Yes.
We both have mood swings. We ain't going to lie to you.
Especially, we both obviously have daytime jobs that are very high stress, high functioning, high everything jobs.
Who thought that would be a good idea?
So, there's a lot of moving pieces just in that. You add kids into the mix. You add a series. You add a podcast. You add Kicking Asphalt.
A dog.
Can't forget about Checker. So
racers that tell us we ain't doing worth shit.
There's a lot of contributing things, and sometimes it is hard to find the balance to it, but we make it work, and we just figure out a way. Sunday was a great example of that. We completely unplugged. You know, we went to the racetrack on Saturday, and on Sunday we were picking tulips and eating on the water and having some fresh seafood.
I don't think we talked one bit about racing the whole time. Mm-mm. Completely unplugged.
It was great.
But we talk about being a real podcast with that question. We'd be real with you. There's nights during race weeks I've slept on the couch because I was pouting. And there's nights she slept on the couch because she was pouting. So
I wasn't pouting. I was just pissed off.
Like I said, we's going to be real with you on here. I was pouting. She was madder than hell. Mm-hmm. But I slept like a baby in the bed spread out.
First of all, I'm going to call you out every single time on this. He did not. I heard him upstairs walking every hour on the hour.
I got a small bladder.
Okay.
Hell, I had to pee a lot.
Next up, what's been the most unexpected challenge or lesson from your journey?
Say that one again, please.
What has been the most unexpected challenge or lesson from your journey?
Mm-hmm. Gosh. Now I know what people feel like when I do question of the week.
All right. Well, while you think on it.
What's yours?
I will say this is going to be shocking to so many, but I hate it talking on camera. I hate it being on camera. I hate it public speaking, all of the things. And then you add in my fear of heights, and somehow I'm a race director. I am a director of operations for the Star Tour. I'm doing interviews all the time. I'm speaking in drivers' meetings. It's just natural now. It's something that I have to do, and I just deal with it and roll with the punches, and it just feels comfortable now.
I'll bank off your answer because with you said that made perfect sense to me. The biggest thing that I had trouble with was criticism. I always had the gift of gab. I knew once the camera come on, you know, I can make anybody laugh and have a good time and feel included. But criticism is what I was the most worried about. And, you know, you try to make everybody happy as far as the YouTube stuff and then being a promoter. And then you reach a point at some time, and it took me a lot longer, and Aaron helped bring it out. But to the point now, I really don't. I give a shit to a degree, but it's really out the window. Like, you wouldn't have had me on this podcast a year ago really telling my true feelings. You couldn't have paid me enough money to do it. But I've reached the point
now. Mr. Peacekeeper over
there.
Yeah,
absolutely. The gullible one, if you will. But I wanted to be, you know, I wanted everybody to get along. But to the point now, man, there's only so much I can do. You know, if you want to talk shit, that's fine. I bet I can talk more shit. So
watch out now.
You know, so that was the biggest thing was the criticism side of it. But I feel like now I'm doing a lot better with it. So next question.
Next one, what's one thing people misunderstand about running your own series?
That's a whole show in itself.
That
right
we're
there.
Profiting and that...
Oh, yeah, we're rolling money in.
Yeah. I'll tell you now, if we walked away from the Star Tour today, we would have more money, more time, more vacations, and a lot more comfortable of a life.
I probably wouldn't sleep on the couch as much either. But
I probably wouldn't crash out as much either.
Whew, them crashing out sessions is bad, boy. Damn, she's quitting at the racetrack. I was like, oh, shit. She quit at the racetrack one time. I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. She said, I'm going back to the hotel. I was like, I was going to steal the keys. I was like, well, hell, you ain't either. We got a race to run. But it's high attention, man. I can try to do the kicking asphalt stuff, logs, as much as I can when we're doing the promoting side of the Star Tour, but you can't catch all of it, man, because I'm talking about you round the corner, somebody's got a problem. And I ain't saying everybody's bad. Like, they got legit problems. Yeah. You know, and you never know where stuff's coming from. But it's fun. If it wasn't fun, we wouldn't keep doing it. The biggest thing that I didn't quite comprehend or think about with running a series was event insurance. That shit right there, cripple a woman and man
right up
there.
On you.
I'm talking about sneaking punchy right into gonads.
Yeah. All right. What is the hardest thing about working together as a couple?
I don't know.
We've kind of touched on this.
Kind of set it aside, I feel like, at times.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's just a balance of it. On race day or really when we're working the Star Tour, we're not engaged. We're not a couple. We are business partners. We are equal parts, and that's just how we wear many different hats. And I'm not afraid to tell him hell no, or what the fuck are you doing,
or go to hell,
and or that. And same thing for him. You know, he's not afraid to put me in the place or question a call, or you know, make sure I'm 100% on a call.
Very nicely, I do it.
I mean, he's not stupid.
No, I ain't a dumbass. Well, that's a different thing.
You're gullible. You're not gullible. A dumbass.
Yeah, gullible.
So, like I said, it's just a balancing act. And some days are easier and we juggle like we're in the circus. And some days they
South Boston,
they
we
fall.
Was on it. I will say that.
Oh, yeah.
We was prepared at South Boston. We was. Florence, not so much.
Well, that was the first one.
First one's always the hardest.
All right. What's one topic or guest you're dying to talk about on Boozed? I can't wait to get Zacharias on here.
Yes.
He's got a really incredible story to share.
Dude, own a restaurant.
I can't wait to have some ultras with him.
Damn, zero
and,
calorie beer.
Shed some light on his story and all of the various things that he's working on. I think that's going to be really cool for a lot of people to see him in a different light.
And we ain't kissing his ass because he's letting us be a part of Ultra Broadcast. I wanted to do this anyway before all this stuff came about. I really want to sit down and give him a platform to where people are asking him questions, because he got crucified last November during the 400 when Junior ran the Budweiser paint scheme. I mean, like, I wouldn't have wanted. I'd been him. I'd turn the damn phone off. I wouldn't looked on social media for a week.
He probably didn't.
I throwed some bitch in the lake at Myrtle Beach where I reside at.
All right. So this is this is the last one, and it's one that we've kind of touched on. But how do you deal with negativity or backlash from social media?
I tried to smooth it over like heaven's mayonnaise. Now, hell no, we spearhead this shit.
Now
right
we
on.
Screenshot it and we send it to in-group messages and we laugh at you. And then 9 times out of 10, I race to get to the comment to have fun and talk shit back to you.
And I'm the whole time like, be smart, be smart, be smart.
Yeah. If you're, I mean.
I just need her 70% smart ass. I don't need her 100%. 100%.
I'm hurting feelings and then somebody's going to cry.
She ain't lying. I mean, she really ain't lying.
Sometimes I take it too far, and I know that, and I try.
You need a personal rev limiter
to not. Don't get me to that point where I show you how cold and ruthless I can be, because once we get there, we're not coming back, and your feelings are going to be destroyed, and I'm going to feel nothing. So, I wasn't always like this, and I think it's something that you get thick skin and you get used to it. People are going to talk shit no matter what. People are going to laugh. People are going to critique. People are going to judge you. But the one thing that I've learned is not one person that is talking shit about me or judging me or critiquing me is doing better than me or accomplishing something that I'm working to accomplish. And so I just keep doing what I'm doing and chasing my goals, and that's that.
Preach, girl. It ain't even Sunday. Go on and preach. I will say this. For every smart-ass comment we get in the comment section on any social media, there's 3 private messages of people telling us, hey, y'all are doing great. Keep doing what doing.
The positive 1,000% outweighs the negative every single time.
I mean, you know, like when Chris Williams with the smart modified tour, you know, when me and him talked, he had nothing but great things to say, you know, and love working together and hoping to work together more in 20 whatever next year is, what, 2026, you know, hoping to work together more with him. So you know, we get compliments around, you know, when me and Kip Childress with the Cars tour was talking. But yes, the positives do outweigh the negatives, you know. You just try not to I try not to read them too far when they're long, because, I mean, hell, I know I got the pit bull over here that's going to respond, so I don't even have to.
I don't know. If really it's a long, like, drawn out, like, I don't have time for
them's
that.
Them's the screenshot ones where I'll be like, well, you just read this and see if it's worth, you know, even give effort to.
My favorite one was Kicking Asphalt's last episode that you dropped on the asphalt with Buddy Isles. Some clown commented, of all the people, like, why Buddy Isles? And the screenshot came to me, and I saw it, and I, before I even responded, I was like, so, what's your track record like? What have you accomplished behind the wheel? Did he ever comment back?
No. How could he? Hell, he's burned. He's in the burn unit.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, so that would do it for our Q&A. Thank you so much for dropping your comments, and I hope you enjoyed our unfiltered answers.
We'll be right back after this break on Booze, the Real Podcast.
Welcome back to Booze, the Real Podcast with Aaron and Boo. Ooh. All right, so it's been a great show so far, and as always, we enjoy hanging out and talking the shit with you guys. So one topic that I want to get into,
okay,
probably your favorite topic.
Mm-mm. Food.
Y'all, I am no passenger princess. I try so hard, and I want to be so bad. But man,
I want you to be so bad.
I don't have the patience for it. Some of our, like,
you need to get over here. Speed limit 55. You're running 51.
Not even that, y'all. He'll, like, get on his phone. He's checking Facebook. He's texting. He's pulling this up. He's pulling that up. And I'm like, our exit is right there. He is famous for missing an exit.
And won't say jack shit.
No, but our drives are already long. And this man's over here making them longer and then has the audacity to get mad at me when I'm like, hey, your exit's coming up. Do you want to drive? No, I want you not to miss your exit and make a 5-hour drive a 6-hour drive.
There ain't a damn exit one around here that's going to take an hour in rerouting.
Shall we talk about coming back from New River?
I was hallucinating. I was so damn tired that day. That shit did keep going up. Every time I looked at it, it was 2 hours and 3 minutes. I drive 30 minutes. I woke her up. I was like, "It's something wrong with this damn phone. This son of a bitch done went from 2 hours and 3 minutes, 2 hours and 27 minutes. I've been driving for 30 minutes. And I hit every turn.
But yet somehow when I woke up and I started driving, it was like 2 hours and 46 minutes.
I was glad that you kicked it that last little bit home, kicked it on in the driveway.
Yeah, I wake up, we're in a gas station.
He's, I'm like, I got to sleep. Like, I'm sleeping.
He's going to go to sleep, and I was like, get in the passenger seat. This drive, like, I want to get home.
That was rough. Gosh, that was rough.
And then he wonders why I didn't go to Wake County.
Wake County wasn't bad. They didn't have practice starting at like 1 o'clock, and then, hell, I was in the car headed home, or in the truck. I drove my truck. I was headed home like 8:50.
Yeah.
Wasn't too bad. But did it
you still
County
didn't get home to almost 1 o'clock in the morning.
I might have had to stop Chick-fil-A, damn drive-thru line. It wasn't their pleasure.
That's what stresses me out. He loves to stop, and I'm one of those, like, let's just get there. Like, A to B. When you stop to get gas is when you use the bathroom. Him, he wants to check out every rest area, every Zaxby's,
and
go in, sit down, sit down, eat at a table.
Sponsor us. Zaxby's. If I kept Zaxby's points, I would never have to pay for, hell, at least next 2 years, eat Zaxby's grilled chicken. But you are no passenger princess. I hope maybe one day you can get there. Maybe one day I can be skinny. Maybe one day you can be a passenger princess. We both got big goals in life.
We can dream. Beautiful dreams.
We got anything else before we're going to close out?
You've got something on here about the spotter stand.
Oh, yeah, the spotter stand. Them guys are, they need their own podcast. I know
they're
die clip,
hard.
The tape, I seen on social media that a company is selling, you can get, I don't know what the company is, I just seen it, I was sitting on the commode day at work, and I was looking at my phone, and I seen that you could get tape with your numbers on it, like you can get your own decals, and you put them up. You ever been in a spotter stand? It looks like them orange duct tape everywhere up through there, and they got their name wrote on it. And I'm like, do y'all pay on this? Like,
that's their spot.
You know, but that's what I'm saying.
It's like a sign standing, not
but
a
how
sign
does that
seating.
Work? Like, if you're, you know, if you're like Platt, Platt's like 6'7" at spots for Honeycutt. Like, if he walks up there and he's like, boy, give me my spot. You know, like, if you're like a 5'1" spotter, do you just like, like checkers, get the hell out of the way? I just wonder how it works. I want to go up there and stand and just see, like, does that tape, is that the end all of, like, that's his spot, you know, like.
We might need to get a spotter or two on the show and find out how
well,
it works.
I mean, they're always talking about, you know, like, I've had spotters come to me. Tony Arnold wants me to follow his buddy Isle spotter. Tony is a freaking character in itself. Steve have to put a bleep button on him. But I've just wondered that. Like, I seen it today, and I was like, okay, they got their number spread out up there on the tape, and I'm like, okay, well, if you get up here, what if you're late? You know, what if you get stuck in line at Zaxby's drive-thru, and then
lose your spot?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You ain't got no, or what happens, worst case, you ain't got no tape to put on the spotter stand. I just wonder how that works. Like, is whoever, you know, I control the Star Tour stuff, and hell, we ain't got enough cars to worry about. But hell, we got elbow room up there. Hopefully we can change that. But we got elbow room. You get somebody like the Cars Tour, though, you know, they're shoulder to shoulder. There's a bunch of out of shape spotters like myself up there, but I ain't no spotter. I mean, they're snug in there. And in some of them spotter stands, I'd be scared to get on. But I just wonder how that tape works.
We'll have to find out. So if you're a spotter, sound off in our comment section and let us know how that works. Is it assigned? Is it first come, first serve?
Does that
is
tape
it on
mean
respect? Like,
I mean,
how does it work? We want to know.
You've been a 20-year spotter? Like, hey, that's such and such a spot over there. You better slide over. He'll throw your ass off. I don't know. I always wonder how that shit works.
It does get pretty rowdy in the spotter stand.
Oh, yeah. I remember, I don't know who it was, so I can't comment on it. I just remember at a Cars Tour race last year, there's two spotters up there. I don't remember what track it was, so I won't dive into it too deep. But I just remember them having to be separated up there. That'd be some shit, wouldn't it? You ain't even driving the car, and you get thrown down the steps. That'd be hard to explain in today's job. I'd just tell them I damn tripped or something.
Yeah. All right, and so the last thing we want to remind you guys, there will be a new episode on the Kickin' Asphalt vlog coming out this week where you can see our journey to Langley Speedway for the 75th season opener. Boom. And a little bit behind the scenes with Chase Burrow and his 00 After Hours Medic Corporation late model.
You know that better than he did.
Well, you know, I got to help him out sometimes.
Absolutely.
All right. So again, we thank you guys for hanging out with us and letting us shoot the shit and shoot it straight with you. As always, we enjoyed it. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe on whatever podcast streaming opportunity platform you are using. We appreciate you. We love you. And we cannot wait to do this again next week. What do we have in tune for them next week?
Probably a recap from Cordell, where the Cars Tour goes down to Georgia, and then crazy stuff that happens, like our buddy Cody DeMarbles doing a
beautiful spin. What if he that does was. It again next I can't week? Believe we Street went this stop. Whole episode without talking about Cody.
That was perfect. Racing for the lead, and they look like ballerinas in sequence, just spinning it.
You are forever taking my comments.
What are you talking about? That was your comment. That's
that was my material. He's not that funny. Half the time, he's stealing my material.
The comment section is awesome to read on Sunday morning in the short track world.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you get up early enough, you say, why you always get up so early? Sunday mornings, I read them comments because by the time they're madder than hell, they get up, they say some shit they don't mean at 9:30, and they delete it because I watched the same thing yesterday. I watched a relationship problem.
Screenshots never die.
Screenshotted at 7:03. It was gone at like 8:30. I guess she wouldn't cheat no more at 8:30, but at 7:03, that dude was madder than hell. Same way with racers. They'll say what they, on early Sunday morning or late Saturday night, I read it, and I'm like, okay, let's talk. We can talk about this on the show. We can talk about that on the show. Problem is, like after Tri-County the other night, so much shit happened. We'd have needed a two-hour show to talk about everything that happened. Even in the, I think it was the late model race or limited race. I don't remember which one it was. They had a good crowd there the other night.
They did.
But we'll find something to talk about, and we'll shoot the shit next week.
We will never have a problem giving you something to talk about.
Ain't that the God honest truth?
All right. It's been real, guys. It's been unfiltered. And as always, sound off. Let us know what you want to see, who you want to see, and we'll catch you next time on Booze, the Real Podcast.